Good afternoon. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to remember the life and faith and legacy of Iris Burbridge Brandon Dillard, who went to the presence of the Lord at age 94 recently. I'd like to read a little bit of what the family wrote. Iris was born in Greenville as a daughter of George Herbert and Iris Davidson Burbridge. Her three sons are here, Lee Brandon, George Brandon, David Brandon, with their wives. There's a stepdaughter here, seven grandchildren, 17 great-great-grandchildren, and one great-great-grandchild. She was also preceded in death by her first husband, Leroy Brandon Sr. And she was a member of this church for many, many years. She went to USC, where she played saxophone in the marching band. That is no surprise to learn that about her. She worked for the state of South Carolina as a social worker, and she and Roy Brandon operated a pharmacy in Hickory, North Carolina, and she was a Girl Scout leader. She married Marianne after her first husband's death, and they volunteered many hours to the archive room of this church. When I first came here, I had to have a meeting with them about the archives. Marion, her husband, his mother was a charter member of the church, and they served the church in that way. And I've been asked to welcome you to stop by the archive room right back there after the memorial service. Also, let me say, after the service, if you haven't had a chance yet to greet the family, they'll be here in front, and you'll be able to express your condolences and well wishes to them. Well, we really have three purposes today as we come. I've mentioned one, that we're going to remember the life of Iris Dillard. We also seek the Christian consolation of those who grieve. But our chief purpose today is that we would give glory to the God she knew for many years and the Savior she trusted, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me begin by reading from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous our God is merciful. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, let's worship the Lord. You'll see hymnals, and on hymn number 433, we'll sing Amazing Grace. Let's rise together and sing to the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Great God and our loving Heavenly Father, we pray now for your blessing upon us as we have this service to remember Iris Dillard. And we pray that your Spirit would enable us to worship through faith and that you would encourage us in what has been for us a loss, but we know for her has been a great gain. Would you glorify yourself through our worship and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you to stand again. We're going to read together aloud the Heidelberg Catechism, question number one. I'll ask the question. Let's rise together. I should not have had you seated at all. But I'll ask the question, and together we will say the answer, so important on an occasion like this. The question is this: what is your only comfort in life and in death? Together, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live for him. Amen. Please be seated now. I thought it was very lovely that when the family was asked what they would like to have read, they asked for a reading from Proverbs 31. This is the Bible's description of the ideal woman, but it really is a picture of what the grace of God will do in the life of those who walk with him in faith. Here's the words of Proverbs 31, which we read as a memorial to God's grace in the life of Iris Dillard. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. I'll start at verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arm strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen. Let's pray again together. Well, Father, we'll use those words as a eulogy for Iris Dillard. And we thank you, Lord, for her long and blessed life. And we thank you as her children gather here, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and a great-great-grandchild. We thank you, Lord, for the legacy she leaves behind. And we know that it's a legacy of things of value like good cheer and of hard work and fruitfulness in the lives of other people. But we thank you, Father, as well, that Knowing Iris, we know that she trusted the Lord Jesus, and she knew him, and she worshiped him for many, many decades, and that you blessed her and you cared for her. And we trust, Lord, we know, in fact, that as her life on this earth ended, that you fulfilled your promises to her. And Jesus had said that those who believe in him, though they die, yet shall they live. And we know and trust that she lives in heaven, blessed in the embrace of your love. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good things that you do through our lives. We thank you for the community of family and also of the church. And these things were prominent for Iris as well. And so, Father, with the things that she leaves behind in this world, we pray that you would care for. We pray that you would watch over her sons and their wives and their children and grandchildren and her great-grandchild. And, Father, we pray, Father, as well, that you would watch over the church. We thank you for Marion and Iris and their care for this church, their presence here for many decades even, Lord, and the good cheer they brought and the faith they encouraged in others. And Father, we pray that, there would be an ongoing legacy of faith in this church, of love, of joy, of care for others. And may we not forget Iris and Marion and what they have done here and what they leave behind. Father, our great hope, however, is not our deeds, but the works of Jesus Christ. And so we thank you that we may trust that you have received Iris as righteous, that her sins are all cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that she's experiencing now that great eternal life that you promised to all who believe. We pray with thanks for her life, her memory, and for your faithfulness to her, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read from the 23rd Psalm. If you have a Bible, you might turn there. There's Bibles in the pew as well. These are familiar words. I have to say that I like, at times of grief and sometimes when people are preparing to depart from the world, I like to go to the familiar, well-trodden paths of Scripture, and I often speak from Psalm 23 at funerals and memorial services because it is such a wonderful comfort. And let me read these well-beloved words. It's a Psalm of David. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we reflect on the meaning of these words, as we glorify you for being so faithful to them, and that you encourage us that we would have the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, that we too might have eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, these words, "The Lord is my shepherd," are among the most comforting to those who know and love the Bible. I think it's often one of the passages that first wins a permanent place in the heart of a young believer. It's often one of the first Bible passages we teach our children. I confess I like to think of the boy Jesus in the Nazareth home, learning these words that were about him. And he would have learned and maybe sung Psalm 23 around the family table in the village of Nazareth. It's also among the last words that we hear, departing from this life and death. And for that reason, because of what it says, it's also one of the most potent chapters in the whole Bible for stirring up and comforting our faith in the face of death. Psalm 23 is one that tells us that by trusting in Jesus, despite all the sorrows, all the dangers, all the ups and downs, the perils of life in a fallen world like ours, if we will trust in the Good Shepherd, we will live forever in the house of the Lord. Now, perhaps the most remarkable picture is its description of God. "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, that is a remarkable statement. Now, you may know that the divine name Lord, in the Hebrew, it's either Yahweh or Jehovah. It's a word that speaks of God's eternal, all-sufficient self-existence. This is the great God who created the heavens and earth and also who made covenant with his people. And David says at the beginning of this psalm, the same thing that every believer in Christ can know, that God, the Lord, Yahweh, the creator, the covenant God of heaven and earth, he's actually my shepherd. I have a relationship in which he cares for me in that loving way. Now, what's interesting is the humility of it. Because in the ancient world, shepherds were very poorly thought of. They were valued. People needed what they did. But because of the nature of the work, they lived outdoors much of their lives, they actually were poorly thought of. There's actually records that the testimony of a shepherd in ancient Judah, Israel, was not valid in a court of law. Because they were people who lived out there, and who knew what they were, what they thought. But it was actually a job that required onerous 24/7 care. And here God calls himself the helper, the shepherd. He calls himself elsewhere the helper of Israel. And he takes up this humble servanthood. And of course, this image of a shepherd depicts the Lord's personal loving investment in our care. If you're interested, one of the books I've most enjoyed on Psalm 23 is written by a man named Philip Keller, because he spent most of his life as a shepherd in East Africa. And he wrote a beautiful little book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And let me just read a little portion of it. He says this: sheep do not just care for themselves, as some might suppose. They require, more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. And despite these adverse characteristics, Christ chooses us the way a shepherd chooses and buys the sheep. He calls us by name. He makes us his own. He delights in caring for us. He literally lays himself out continually. He is even now in heaven working on our behalf to ensure that we benefit from his care. The good shepherd spares no pain for the well-being of the sheep. Now, what Psalm 23 does is it makes an analogy between the annual pilgrimage of a flock of sheep in ancient Israel to the life of a believer under God's loving care. And it begins with the lower lands of grazing, where rich pastures are provided. The shepherd watches over, he provides for, he tends his flock, he leads them to only the greenest pastures, he finds them water. In a country that was rather dry, in fact. He guards over them by night from beasts of prey. So also does the Lord provide for and watch over us. Well, look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And the Bible promises that when God's people need feeding, they will find it in his word. Their spiritual thirst will be filled, and when they grow weary, Christ will give them rest. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst." And so the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down beside green pastures. The believer in Jesus discovers this through the word of God. And God is able to make his sheep lie down comfortably in any circumstance, as sheep actually aren't made comfortable easily. They don't sleep easily. They have to be cared for. There has to be peace. And this is what the Lord provides for us all through our life. We think of the long life of Iris Dillard, and undoubtedly she would have been taught this psalm as a little girl, and she believed in the Lord Jesus, and she discovered that. Isn't it true, remarkably in her case, for some real ups and downs in her life, some real challenges? Like those sheep, she was able to live in rest, in peace. She could experience joy. That's because of the good shepherd. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. That could also be translated, he restores my life. It's referring to what happens when a sheep gets on its back. A sheep rolls over the wrong way. It gets stuck on its back. Its center of gravity goes in the wrong way. And it usually panics and thrashes violently. Actually, it's called a cast sheep will die, because it cannot right itself, and it cuts off its circulation. Well, there are times in our lives where we find ourselves, it seems, on our back. But in the Lord Jesus, we have a good shepherd. He comes, he rights us, he restores our lives, he returns us to the fold. Verses 2 and 3 say, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep typically follow the crowd along the well-worn path, and it leads into a rut. The same is true for us. How many blindly follow the paths of the world into ruin? But the psalm says that when we follow the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, he leads us on a different path, the godly path, the path of righteousness, where things are wholesome, where our lives bring credit to our shepherd. This is what Christians find as we trust and obey God's word. It leads us to good fields where our hearts are fulfilled. Now, I think especially of the middle verses of this psalm is very important, verse 4 specifically. This is maybe the best known part of Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, David knew there is evil, there is danger in this world, but because of his shepherd, he says, I will not fear. Now, I mentioned how Psalm 23 takes us on the annual journey of a flock, and there's the lowlands where they're grazing, but they have to pass through the canyons, the dangerous valleys where the wolves lurk, to get to the high tablelands. And this is the valley of the shadow of death, and because of our shepherd, we will not fear. As we think about Iris departing from this world, just a few things I want to point out from verse 4. First of all, that she did not pass into death, she passed through death. And I love how death is in the middle of Psalm 23. It's not at the end of Psalm 23. Death was a fleeting experience for Iris because she had a heaven into which it transported her soul. Death is not the final destination of a believer. It is a passage we make. And we know from God's word that if you say, what was it like for Iris? It was a brief passage. She passed into the higher ground of eternal life. Secondly, I think it's notable that David refers to death not as death itself, but as the shadow of death. He's referring for the way that a Christian, one who's under the care of God's Son, experiences death. Now, on the one hand, we always grieve the terrible reality of death. It sunders us from those we loved. But Jesus has made for the believer, he's made death to be only the shadow of what it otherwise would be. Matthew Henry writes, there is no substantial evil in death. The shadow of a serpent will not sting you. The shadow of a sword will not kill you. Nor will the shadow of death harm the follower of Christ. Now, thirdly, notice that no believer is ever alone while dying. So often we have an ideal image of how it will go when a parent departs from this world, and so often it's not that way. We just don't control those things. But I want to assure you that no believer is ever alone while dying. Psalm 23 says, the shepherd will be with me. Jesus provided her comfort. He protects us by his gospel rod from any harm. Jesus promised, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So the moment when Iris departed from this world, the Lord Jesus came to her. He was with her through that brief passage of the shadow of death, and he took her into the heaven he had prepared. Well, the final verses, I'll look at these briefly, I think are particularly interesting, verses 5 to 6. The high tablelands into which the annual flock will arrive, and it's a picture of the Christian's experience in heaven. We have already been told that we will not want, we will not fear. But Psalm 23 also reminds us that by trusting in Jesus, we will not fail. Iris Dillard stayed in the faith all of her life until the moment of her death, and she passed through death into the benefits of that saving faith. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. Well, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that's the idea of the shepherd preparing the field. And the Lord Jesus has prepared heaven, and Iris stay in heaven for her. Neither sin nor Satan will ever touch her where she is now. She is seated at the table of victory above. I have to say, I particularly love the next statement, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. In the ancient world, there were no inns, and so a traveler would show up with cracked skin and dust all over the face. And if you were a close friend, someone who loved them, when they came to your door, you had anointing oil. And when they walked in your door, you would anoint their face, you'd anoint their head. And what you're doing is you're soothing, you're taking away all the pains, all the scrapes and cuts and the damage that was done in the journey. And that's a picture of what the Lord Jesus does for a believer when we enter into heaven. He greets us, and all the pains, all the wounds, all the struggles of this life, he soothes them all away. Philip Keller again, he was a shepherd, and he recalls the joy with which the little sheep would lift their heads to receive the anointing oil given by the shepherd to care for their skin. Well, likewise, so a believer is ministered to by the hands of God himself. And then verse 5 adds, my cup overflows. My friends, I hope you think about heaven. One of the benefits of a funeral memorial service is we realize that this life is short, there's eternity is long. I hope you think about heaven. And what that says, my cup overflows, says whatever you and I conceive of what it will be like, the glories of what it will be in the heaven with God forever, the actual reality will be so much greater. The cup that we held forth is totally overflowing. With the Lord as our shepherd, we will not fail, and he will not fail us. And David concludes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My friends, be comforted. In fact, rejoice for Iris Dillard. She had a long life, a blessed life, under the care of Jesus Christ. He was working on her behalf. He was working in her by his grace. He has received her into heaven. But I want to conclude with this question. What is it that made the vital difference of the person of the sheep of Psalm 23? What is it that allows us to enter into that heaven? Because the Bible's clear that there is judgment after life, and those whose sins are not forgiven will not have access to that heaven. What a different thought that will be. What is the difference? Well, it's not our lives. It's not what the sheep accomplishes. It's not how strong, how big the sheep is. It's that sheep is able to say, as Iris Dillard was able to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. See, that's the key, not only to Psalm 23, it's the key to life. My friends, it's the key to death. Because it is the person who confesses their sins, who looks to the cross where Jesus shed his blood for his people so that we're forgiven before a holy God. The person who can humbly say, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd. I believe in him. I trust him. I know him. I follow him. It is that person who is able to say with confidence, I give them, I will dwell forever in the house of the Lord. Here's what Jesus said. I know my sheep. My sheep know me. They follow me. I lay down my life for the sheep. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. It is those who can say, the Lord Jesus is my shepherd, who will end their lives confidently discovering that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, we want to give glory to Iris's Savior, the one she met early in life through your word and a loving Christian family, and the Savior she followed all her life, who was with her in times of need, who guided her hands for strength, who formed her character. And now, Lord, we know who has received her into heaven. And we give you thanks for the saving work of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that we, as she has departed from us, that we would think about the things that she believed. Because, Lord, the day will come when others are gathered on our behalf. Oh, Lord, I do pray that each of us will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, because he really is the Savior, and he died for our sins. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's sing Psalm 23. You'll find it. It's hymn 23A in your hymnal. We'll conclude by singing that wonderful hymn. Thank you. Again, if you'd like to give your condolences to the family, it'll be here in the front of the church. Let us now receive the Lord's benediction. Now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and dominion both now and forever. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen.